What's up, everybody? This is Alex Kelly back here with another episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast on a Tuesday with my brother Ryan.
Hola, senor.
So you're really going to go see freaking Amsterdam?
Wait, are you not going to go see Amsterdam?
I hadn't planned on it after everything came out about David O. Russell.
Okay, wait. Is this movie, is or isn't this movie going to be like an Oscar contender?
Not anymore. No.
Only because he's a dick?
But also because it got like critically panned. I think it has like a 30% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
But you're... Okay.
29%.
How about this? Would you want to see this movie, like, independent of any claims against the director being an asshole?
Oh, 100%, because of who the cast is, which still, like, blows my mind that, like, this is was an open secret, and yet, like, everybody wanted to be in this freaking movie.
Okay, then shouldn't you want to see the movie in support of all of the...
below the line people who got abused during this
movie. Quote unquote, like, victims of this man's crime, because like 99% of the fucking cast like wasn't involved, and like this is just as much of their piece of art than it is his, right? So
no, I mean, as soon as you said like that movie, and I was like, I guess I'll go see it. So yeah, if you want to go see it this weekend, I'm down.
All right, yeah, I do want to go see it. We'll take Marina's parents to go see it.
Perfect.
Yeah,
the San Antonio natives will go see Amsterdam with us.
They're not at all natives of San Antonio, but okay.
They live in San Antonio is what I meant. I should put that out there, but whatever.
It's a big place. It's fine.
Yes. But everybody, thank you for checking out this episode. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Did you get a new Blockbuster and Chill shirt, or is this existing Blockbuster t-shirt?
So I had a hoodie from Blockbuster.
Okay.
I put out this Blockbuster and Chill shirt for people who are listening to this episode and are not viewing this on YouTube, because we're putting our episodes up on YouTube now when we do Zoom. I've been doing that.
Have you really?
Yes.
Let's not put this one out because I literally have a t-shirt on. Hold on. Let me go put a nice shirt on.
No change. I'll talk about Blockbuster and Chill. Yes, I got this shirt off of the Blockbuster Bend, Oregon website. It says Blockbuster and Chill on it with a little Blockbuster logo on it. There is nothing on the back. I'll talk about my Stitch plush that Alexis got me. It is Stitch. People can't really see it. It's nice and soft. There's also the Freddy.
Here, they can watch me get dressed live.
Perfect. I'm just talking about all the random stuff behind me at this point. Fright Night box. Fright Night 2, New York edition. Sold out in 15 minutes. I was lucky to get one of those. Sold most of the stuff in the box, but, you know, that's how life goes. We also have Charizard to my, I guess, the screen left. Also my left. Charizard, Bulbasaur, Growlithe. Very expensive. Ryan's putting on a dress shirt right now for people who are not able to see this. But yeah, Funko Pokemon to my left. Ryan's back.
Yes. And now I'm dressed like a Brooklyn rabbi.
Yes. Wow. Oh, my God. This episode's off to a fucking crazy-ass start. Yes.
Yeah, I do have some scenery behind me. I've got
perfect. Describe yours as I just drink beer over here.
So I've got the Green Knight vinyl poster behind me. Very sexy.
Yes.
And then
there better be a dog to your left. Oh, it's French Dispatch.
Yes. French Dispatch is actually the... original movie poster from
Angelica,
my first date with my fiance. Yes.
Aww.
Very special. She literally went to the manager at the Angelica and asked if she could have the poster out of the case in the front of the theater.
There's got to be CCTV footage of that somewhere.
Oh, I hope so. Running across the house to get a shirt was not a good idea after chili.
Oh, did you eat some chili tonight without me, Ryan?
I did have some chili without you. I'm sorry.
See, that's our, tradition when we watch House of the Dragon, which we're going to review tonight.
Yeah.
Nice segue. What else are we doing today? Don't Worry, Darling, which came out a couple weeks ago. We're going to review that movie from Olivia Wilde, starring Florence Pugh and Harry Styles. Should be a good episode today. As always, people. Check out our Twitter at Furloughed Film and on Instagram at Furloughed Film Talks. We put some fun stuff up there. And on YouTube, because we're going to post this, because Ryan has a dress shirt on now.
Yeah,
at
thank
Verload
you.
Film Talks. That is a channel. Subscribe, do all that kind of fun stuff. We'll have some interesting things going on these next couple weeks. We'll be at Dallas Fan Fest, not this weekend, but the weekend after. We'll be posting stuff from that, because they've been badass enough to kind of let us go and just run amok at those things. Stephen Amell is going to be there, as well as the guy from House of the Dragon, Matt Smith. Badass dude. And Eduardo Franco.
Oh, can you buy a photo and not an autograph? You have to pay for both, right?
What do you mean?
With Matt Smith?
So, can you get a photo that he'll autograph there?
Can you have him autograph something, and can you take a picture with him?
So you have to buy both.
Do you have to get in line again?
No, you just do it right there. So there's a photo op price, which is something completely different from the table he's at signing.
Oh, I see.
There's a table photo price where you literally just take a selfie with him.
Oh, okay. So the photo op one is more expensive, probably?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's wait, you basically have to go fucking wait in another line.
I don't give a shit. I'm probably going to do that.
Are you really going to go for fucking Matt Smith?
Yeah.
Dude, the line's going to be ridiculous because he's canceled three or four times on Dallas.
Really?
Yeah. So but he's promised fan people.
He's not gonna cancel this one.
Yeah, so he's he's actually gonna be there.
Can we get a homeless person to stand in line for me? That's the
Ryan Ellis Kelly.
What?
No, I'm definitely going for Stephen Amell. I just need to decide. We're just gonna completely mess up this episode again real fast. Hold on. You talk.
Hola, mi amo is Brian.
I'm trying to decide.
Invest in the Pokemon card.
Damn it. I'm trying to decide if I want to get this Funko of Green Arrow signed
by Matt Smith.
No, by Stephen Amell.
Oh, okay.
Or if I want to get the photo that we took in Denton signed, where it's me, him, and Garrett.
Definitely do that one. Yeah, definitely do the photo.
How funny would it be just to walk up with a photo you've already taken and be like, hey, bro, can you
remember this?
Yeah, this photo right here.
You 1,000% should get that signed.
Yeah, so I'm going to get that printed off at Walgreens and just walk up and be like, hey, remember when we drank together for an hour and a half in Denton?
Should I have Matt Smith sign a Pokemon card?
Fuck yes, you should. Oh my god.
You want to see some really cool shit I got this week?
Yeah.
Hold on.
There's actually a Damon Funko Pop already.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Look at this shit.
Bro, what the hell? Ryan,
it's golden.
Ryan, explain what you are showing to me.
Yes. So I have the original base set trio Pokemon cards, but they're reprints in the 25th anniversary Japanese set, and they have gold foil edges and gold backgrounds, and they're PSA graded nines.
They're nines?
Yeah.
Bro. Yeah.
They came out last year, and Japanese cards are super easy to grade. So yeah. You don't want to get a Funko sign though, because then it's you're gonna barely, what is he gonna sign, the forehead?
So you sign the box.
Oh,
you sign, does anyone you sign this right here. So I'm holding up a Funko. It's the screen outside. You sign around here.
Oh. So don't you want to sign on the cardboard so it's you can see it better?
On the back?
Or on the face.
Oh.
You know what I mean? On the dude's face of the cardboard?
No, it shows up pretty well on the screen. Because they use blues and stuff like that where it really pops. Mm-hmm.
You could use a green or something on for that one.
Yeah, the signed Funko Pops, normally if it's not signed, maybe $20-ish. When it's signed, it's over $250, $300. Signed Funkos are ridiculous.
Are there any companies that grade Funkos?
So CGC does, PSA does, and then the company that like everybody swears by for the value of Funko Pops, which is called PPG, Pop Price Guide, they're about to start pricing Funkos, which like when they start doing that, that's going to be the gold standard because everybody goes to them for their like value of the Funko. Like even the Funko app pulls the value from PPG. So like everybody, when you're talking about Funkos, it's PPG all the time. So that's going to be a huge deal.
That's badass.
Yeah. So like that's coming real, real soon, which like I'm super stoked about. Cause like I've got this, the Charmander that like you gave, I got you and me, that's already at like 65. Mm-hmm. And then I just got this one.
Wait, is the one that's like super popular BBG?
PPG.
PPG?
Yeah. Pop Price Guide.
Okay. And they're not doing it yet.
Not yet, but like they just put a survey out and they're like, we should do this, and now they're about to. So
nice.
But then like this Bulbasaur is like $90. Got this in a trade. So I'm really happy with that one. But we're gonna start out with something. We're gonna get past the nerdy stuff and get into even more nerdy stuff, which is there was a new trailer that dropped yesterday, Ryan, in an abbreviated version of the Trailer Park Roundup. We have a brand new official trailer for Black Panther.
I have to apologize. I 100% have to take a break.
You gotta go poop?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll pause. We're gonna talk about the new trailer for Black Panther, which dropped yesterday from Marvel Studios, starring...
I don't know. should I look it up?
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. That'd probably have been good planning.
Sorry, no one we know.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, here we go.
Lupita Nyong'o,
Letitia Wright, Dominique Thorne. I don't know if she's gonna be in it. Ironheart, I guess so.
Yeah, she's Riri Williams.
Okay, Angela Bassett, Daniel Kaluuya. I'm doubting Michael B. Dude, Google really needs to get its shit together when it does like cast listings.
So, rumor, spoilers for anybody who doesn't want to hear this.
Okay.
Michael B. Jordan is in the movie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He is going to be, so we'll get into that in a second. Ryan, there is the biggest question from this trailer. They show the new Black Panther. Who is the new Black Panther?
I don't know. It's definitely a female.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it has female characteristics. If the new Black Panther identifies as female, only they could tell us.
okay, keep going.
Anyways, I don't know. Do you know who? I have no idea who it is. Like, sure. I'm guessing it's his sister. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Shuri.
Okay.
More than likely, it's Shuri.
Cool. Okay.
Which in the comics, Shuri has been the Black Panther before, just kind of the body and where the rumors have been. It's almost been confirmed that this is going to be Shuri, which the other rumor is when she takes the heart-shaped herb to become Black Panther and goes to the like whatever realm, she meets Killmonger, who is Michael B. Jordan, and Michael B. Jordan's character like basically walks her through becoming the Black Panther.
Well, that's nice. I'm glad they didn't do CGI.
Chadwick Boseman.
Chadwick Boseman, yeah.
Yeah, and they had said...
That's kind of weird, though, that Killmonger is going to, like, walk her through it, even though Killmonger was the Black Panther's, like, enemy, not the Black Panther himself.
Yeah, and I mean, some people had said, well, he was kind of the Black Panther for, like, a half second. But, I mean... Just story-wise, like, they had always said that they were not going to bring back Chadwick Boseman in a CG, like, anything, like, repurpose footage. And so they had to kind of figure out something. And I think this, to me, is the best way of doing it. Bring back Killmonger, who...
But they also said they weren't going to recast Black Panther, so...
Well, and I think they meant, like, T'Challa. They're not going to ever recast T'Challa. So it's a little different. But I get what
They're not recasting that character, just repurposing another character for the title Black Panther.
Of Black Panther, which they kind of have to do for a Black Panther movie.
You would think so, yeah.
Especially because, like, the mantle of Black Panther has been held by so many different characters through the ages that it makes sense that they would just kind of hand it off to somebody else in this instance. Like, that obviously was not the plan whenever Black Panther was, like, introduced into the MCU, but because of what happened, and let's be honest, like, Chadwick Boseman fucking killed it. It was a huge loss. They had to kind of pivot with this and pay homage to him to kind of continue the legacy of what he was doing. So, like, to me personally, like, whatever the fuck they want to do with this, like, I'm totally cool with. Like, it is obvious that Ryan Coogler and everybody on that, you know, set was paying homage to him, was trying to, like, honor his legacy with this movie. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you a question in chat.
Okay.
So.
There has not.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
In the comics. I think
that goes against everything that character stands for.
Full double standard, but no, okay.
Whatever. So.
I'm totally kidding.
I know. And this is the thing that I wanted to ask you about. And I don't mean this to be. I've gotten really bad about this like the last 2-3 years, but fuck it. I preface my questions. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect you to be excited about this movie. I didn't really think that you'd be stoked about this movie. What has gotten you? Because you've said multiple times from the teaser trailer, now the official trailer, what has you really excited about this movie?
Okay, first off, why wouldn't you think I'd be excited for this movie?
We weren't super into the first one.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it was a good movie.
And legitimately, when we've talked about the MCU, it's been kind of like on a downtrend. So now all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, like this looks like it's going to be really, really good. So that's really where that's coming from.
Yeah.
Not because you're white.
I mean, to be fair though, like the reason that like Black Panther wasn't one of my favorite movies was like I think this was a joke. I don't think this is meant to be serious or anything, but like, you know how Shuri kept harping on like anti-imperialism, or like she kept calling the CIA guy like a colonialist or shit like that.
Frodo Baggins' character.
Yeah, yeah, and they're like obviously playing off like racial tensions, which I don't love. It's a completely reasonable place to take your superhero movies, right?
Yeah.
Totally 100% cool with. It just is kind of off-putting in some regards. I don't know. This one, okay, so A, the new character has me super stoked. Namor. I 100% Namor, I 100% love the kind of like, I don't know, it's like a mix between like Hermes, Aquaman, and like some kind of Mesopotamian like god type thing, Aztec. Right? Yeah. So that like looks really cool, and all like.
You want a quick tidbit, real fast?
Sure.
Superman was not the first flying character in a comic book. Namor was.
Really?
Yes. 1939.
They did Namor way back in 1930s. Wait, Namor debuted before Superman? How? Did he, like, what's the oldest, like, mainstream comic book character?
So it kind of gets into the weeds of, like, what you consider flying.
No, I mean just, like, who's the first, like, debut comic book that's, like, still around today?
Oh, God. That's a great question. Fictional character, nope, the fuck, that's gonna take me way too long to
think. But yeah, so anyways, like that's super cool. There's a new character, and then like layered on top of that is the fact that like these fight scenes look so fucking cool with like the underwater dimension added to it.
Yeah,
like they're not doing the, I guess they're kind of doing like the Aquaman thing where there's a bit underwater, but there's like a lot of interaction between like the people from the water on land, or like them interacting in a way. It's not just like this underwater weird kind of CGI battle, which Aquaman was fantastic, like super badass movie.
So Superman debuted 1938, Namor was 1939, but Namor flew before Superman did.
Oh, okay. Huh. Cool.
Anyways, so it's real interesting. Fast.
But yeah, that's why I'm excited, because I like the new character. Plus, like, the whole vibe is like super cool. It's not cool, but it's like, it's very foreboding, how it's obviously like a very like Black Panther is being memorialized, yeah, kind of in the vein of like Iron Man. The only one downside, like, I hope they don't bungle the whole like reason behind T'Challa not being around anymore, like whatever happened to him, is like, this guy survived the snap, he survived like the Killmonger, he survived like all of the, like, what, half dozen movies or something, like all of these different circumstances, like what actually took down Black Panther, right?
And I guess I hadn't thought about that, like, what is the explanation for him dying? Like, that will be something very, if not handled well, it will be controversial. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think with the love and care that these people have put into not only just making the movie, but obviously writing the movie, I think they'll have that handled pretty well, but that is something to watch out for.
Plus, like, to be completely fair to the filmmakers, like, this isn't something that they came up with on their own. They weren't like, oh, hey, let's kill off Black Panther so like Shuri can be Black Panther, and then like let's kind of shoehorn a reason for Black Panther's death into the movie.
Yeah.
Like, they, you know, if they were going to make a Black Panther movie, they had to come up with something.
They were forced to do it.
And like, you know, I don't think, maybe they pulled it off, but I don't think anything would be really satisfying to Marvel fans or Black Panther fans. Like, it's a super tough position to be in.
No, I mean, I'm interested to see what they do. From what I have heard and read, the big reveal at the end of the movie is going to be insane, which is going to usher in the Fantastic Four, basically, because what?
That is something I'm not excited for.
What, Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't be happy if Dr. Doom showed up at the end of this movie?
No, well, I guess. I don't know who the fuck that is.
What the fuck, Ryan?
That's how much they ruined Fantastic Four for like a whole generation of like people, right? Like,
he was the villain in the first movie that they did.
Of Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who gives a fuck? Like, those movies are so bad. Like, Dr. I think Doom I might have seen one Fantastic Four movie. And I don't even know if, like, I think I saw the one way back, like, is there one between like 2002 and 2006 time frame?
Yeah, that was Fantastic Four, and then Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I saw the first one. I don't know. They're just so bad. I'm not
excited at all. Dr. Doom, if they bring him in as like the guy who's like basically orchestrating Namor and the Wakandans to like fight each other, It's going to be a sick reveal.
Yeah. And how's that going to play into like the, is that just going to be kind of localized with this like Black Panther story? Or are we going to get something larger, like a Thanos-esque, that's going to be going alongside Kong or Kang?
Thanos-esque.
So we're going to have like him and the Kang. Other guy?
Kang.
It's too much, man. Too much going on.
Just wait. He is, if they bring in Dr. Doom, he is going to be the Thanos. He is not, Kang will be Thanos-esque. Dr. Doom will be Thanos. Like, he is going to be pulling strings all over the place.
You know, like, one thing that kind of worries me is that, like, is there stuff in the, like, was it Mrs. Marvel? What was the TV show?
Miss Marvel?
Was it, like, is there stuff in Miss Marvel and She-Hulk that are going to be important down the line for Marvel movies? Because, like, I got to tell, like,
Miss Marvel, there will be.
I'm not watching. Like, I literally, even I wanted to watch it, which I don't. Like, I don't have time to watch it.
No.
So,
it's, I mean,
it's kind of disappointing. Only
watch, I literally watched the first couple episodes of She-Hulk and then was basically just like every day there was a new episode checking to see if Daredevil was in it. And like every week that he wasn't in it, I was like, I'm good. And then just like kept on with my fucking day. Like, I'm not fucking watching that, dude. It's not good. But yeah, Black Panther new trailer coming out. We need to grab our tickets, Ryan, because yeah, that comes out next month.
Is it mid-November?
Or... I think it's November 11th.
Damn, it's like 5-6 weeks away.
Yeah, it is exactly. It's a week from this. No, wait, what the hell? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It is 5 weeks from this coming Friday when Black Panther comes out. We'll be checking it out. We'll be doing a full review of it. We'll be just reacting to all the craziness in there. But Ryan.
Yes, ma'am.
The guy that plays Damon is coming to Dallas here in about a week and a half. We are going to be there to see all the goriness of that British bastard. You should not say bastard around these people because they'll cut your fucking eye out. We are, of course, talking about House of the Dragon on HBO Max. New episode, Driftwater. Just dropped, bro. Driftmark, Driftwater, Driftmark.
What's the name of this con that we're going to?
Dallas Fan Fest.
Okay, not to be confused with the Fan Expo.
Yes, same company, two different things.
Okay,
different locations as well.
Cool. Okay.
Carry anyway, on. House of the Dragon, Ryan. Newest episode dropped this past Sunday. Fucking craziness ensued. To me, just overall reaction, go.
Have we, okay, we're going to view 6 and 7 because we haven't talked about 7 or episode 6 either.
Yeah, I would say do a quick reaction to 6 and then just jump into 7.
Okay. Let me review the synopsis. Real quick for episode 6. The Princess and the Queen. 10 years later, Rhaenyra has given birth to 3 boys, Jacaerys, Lucerys, and newborn Joffrey, you okay?
What? That was me doing childbirth.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like, we literally sat down to have dinner and, like, started this episode. Poor move on our part.
Bad idea. Bad idea.
All black, the Targaryen, Valyrian, silver hair, but Viserys rejects Allison's accusation that Laenor is not their father. Allison tells Aegon that he must prepare to one day fight Rhaenyra for the throne. Daemon and his wife, Laena Velaryon, visit Pentos with daughters Baela and Rhaena. The prince offers them a lordship in exchange for an alliance against the resurgent Triarchy. Unable to give birth after an agonizing labor, Laena commands her dragon, Vhagar, to incinerate her. Sir Criston, now loyal to Allison, goads Sir Harwin into attacking him by implying that Harwin fathered Jacaerys, perpetrating rumors of Rhaenyra's infidelity with Harwin. To soothe family tensions, Rhaenyra proposes Jacaerys marry Helena, Allison's daughter, which Allison rejects. Sir Lionel Strong offers his resignation as Hand of the King. Viserys refuses it, but permits Lionel to escort the disgraced Harwin to Harrenhal. Harwin bids an emotional farewell to Rhaenyra and her children. After Allison confides to Laris Strong that she wishes her father, Serato, was still the king's hand, Laris recruits 3 condemned criminals to start a fire at Harrenhal, killing Lionel and Harwin. Rhaenyra moves her household to Dragonstone, including Laenor's lover, Sir Carl Corey.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So a decent amount happened here. I liked it. I mean, I really like the new Daemon. I'll start off there. I really love that Daemon is now a just a good old family man, good old father, you know, just really loves his kids and doesn't give a fuck about nothing else.
He's there for the fam.
Yeah, he's a family man. I'm loving the new Daemon. I'll start with Rhaenyra. The new Rhaenyra is a badass, obviously. Like her a lot. Very much like this dynamic of her having just blatantly banged some other dude and not even tried to find someone that like looks like her fucking husband. So like to have these
children her kids look something like the rest of their relatives.
Because there's no pretend, like they say this multiple times, like so many different characters are like, We all have fucking eyes. We can all see that, like, these are not Laner's kids, right? And she didn't even, like, try. There's no one in her, like, because we know all of her parents, like, all of her grandparents, they're all, like, an incestuous family. We know everyone in her line. There's no fucking brunette, or there's no way these kids, like, weren't, like, bastards, right? So that dynamic is fantastic. I'm loving it. Okay, Allison. Allison has turned out to be a colossal cunt. And, and somehow she, like, always looks like...
She is a bitch.
Yeah. She always looks like someone took a kilo of cocaine, mixed it with Sour Patch Kids, and then smeared it all over her gums. Her mouth is, like, perpetually in this, like, ugly-ass, like, frown. I don't know. Highly dislikable character. Like, if you are in some way,
sounds like your team Targaryen here right now.
1,000%. Yeah, yeah.
Because the lines are being drawn right now across social media of, like, which are you team black or are you team green?
If you're team green, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
End of the day, though, I am team Viserys, because that poor bastard.
Dad, how is he still alive?
Hey, how is he still alive? How does he look like he's pushing 90? And Matt and Damon? Damon looks like he's, you know, 31.
Not even Damon. Fucking Otto Hightower looks like he's fucking 40. And, like, they've aged across the same thing. And Viserys looks like he should be interned somewhere already.
He, like, the only difference between his character, like, before the time jump is, like, he kind of has gray stubble. Like, that's it. He looks like the exact same fucking person. They didn't even, like, try at all. I guess they used all of their makeup budget on Viserys, because, like, they really had to do a number on that poor actor to make him, like, look like
between
90.
This last episode was episode 7, correct?
The one that came out Sunday was 7.
Yeah. Between 7 and 8, there's an obvious, like, 5 to 7 year time jump. How the hell is...
They're jumping again?
Did you not watch the preview for the next episode?
No. Okay. Well, that preview probably contains stuff from, like, 8, 9, and 10 also.
I think it's 8, but I'm not going to say for sure. Dude,
is Viserys still alive? Because, like, that poor guy.
They don't show him, but, like, they have voiceover from him.
Uh-huh.
And they show Aemon. Is that the asshole in the last episode?
With the young asshole with one eye?
Yeah.
Well, I guess. Spoilers. Sorry.
They show him, and he's at least 5 to 7 years older.
Really? Are you sure it wasn't his? Well, I mean,
no,
I guess you
because he's
tell,
got the patch. He's got the patch on.
Yeah.
And it's a dude from The Last Kingdom.
Which dude?
The religious dude.
Oh, that's cool.
He plays fucking Aemon now.
I love that dude. Okay.
And I was like, that looks like Bo Burnham. And I'm like, that's not Bo Burnham. Let me go look at this real fast.
Speaking of that, we need to finish that fucking show.
Which episode are you on?
Like 2 or 3?
Jeez, did you not fucking Oh, dude! They're putting a Funko out for that.
Wait, did you finish The Last Kingdom?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we need to watch that. For sure. Time jump. I don't know how they're gonna do that. I'm like, Viserys literally needs to be on his deathbed to make that happen, but we'll see. Well, that's fucking cool. Did they just do
It comes out Friday.
Uthred.
Uthred, son of Uthred.
Part of that show?
What's that?
That is also Elon Musk's favorite show.
Soon to be head of Twitter?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
All right, next episode, because this is the one episode I literally finished right before we started recording this, because I wanted to be fresh.
Okay,
I just want to say this while you pull up the synopsis for it.
I got it ready.
I thought this was one of the best fucking episodes of Game of Thrones I've ever seen. And the scene... Oh, fuck you. the scene where they like basically all confront each other after the thing happens some of the best television I've ever seen. That had me so hooked, and there were so many turns to it. I was like, holy shit, what is happening? Synopsis time.
Okay, real quick on the last episode, I'll just say, like, rating-wise, I'll probably give it, like, a 3.5 out of 5. I feel like it was a little bit – it was – if you, like, had to kind of do the spectrum of filler episode to, like, absolute banger episode with everything you want from Game of Thrones, this, like, was just right there in the middle, kind of towards the filler episode. Yeah. But, like, seeing Daemon's wife, like, commit Dragon Harry Carry, very shocking, very very good, very, very fun.
I'll give the save rating.
3.5 out of 5?
Yeah.
Jindomax save rating. Okay.
Where is he, by the way?
He's right here.
Oh, I miss him so much.
I can kind of... Where is he?
There he is.
Okay.
Hey, real fast.
What's up?
Because I'm on like a 30-minute timer, basically. I'm going to stop this one and start another.
Right now?
Yeah, and email it to you.
Yeah.
All right, 1 second. All right, so episode 8 is called Drift Mark, right?
Episode 8 is... episode 7 is Drift Mark.
Okay, episode 7, my bad.
Yep. Okay, so King Viserys and his court attend Lady Lena's funeral in Driftmark. Rhaenyra and Daemon reunite and are physically intimate. That's a hilarious fucking synopsis right there. Like, they reunite and are physically intimate. Prince Aemond claims Vhagar has his dragon, leading to an altercation with his cousins and nephews in which Lucerys slashes Aemond's eye with a Valyrian steel knife. Lucerys refuses Queen Alicent's demand that Lucerys' eye be gouged out as retribution. When a vengeful Alicent attempts to attack Lucerys with the knife, Rhaenyra blocks her, but Alicent stabs her arm. After claims that Rhaenyra's children are bastards, Lucerys decrees that anyone questioning his grandson's legitimacy will have their tongue removed. Reinstated as Hand of the King, Otto Hightower privately tells Alicent that it will soon prevail. Rhaenyra and Daemon unite against Alicent and her supporters. Lannister is apparently murdered by his lover, Sir Carl Corey, with Prince Rhaenys and Lord Corlys believing the found charred body is Lannister's. Meanwhile, Daemon and Rhaenyra are married in the old Valyrian tradition to continue the pure Targaryen bloodline, their respective children attending the private ceremony. Following his fate to death, Lannister, his haven shed, secretly flees Driftmark with Sir Carl. What the fuck? Yeah, right.
So much of the best Game of Thrones episodes with like very minimal bloodshed, other than like one guy getting his neck snapped. Well, and also a guy losing his eye. But
there was a lot of bloodshed in this. Yeah. Okay.
I loved this episode. I thought this was one of the craziest, but like also just the most tense episodes I've ever seen. And truly showed everybody's true colors in this episode and where the battle lines are like drawn, including like Sir Criston Cole basically being told like, you serve me, cut that fucking kid's eye out. And he's like, bet. And like about to. And it's just like, and what the fuck is going on? Like, and I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Yes. Yeah, first off, someone should take the Arkansas flag and replace Arkansas with Targaryen. That'd be hilarious. That'd be a great shirt. We should start a furloughed film line where we, like, make stupid shit like that. Anyways.
Down for that. Let's raise some money.
Furloughed film talks versus the state of Arkansas.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, this fucking episode was, like, amazing. I was not that hooked, actually, probably for the first, like, 20 minutes or so.
No, the first 40 minutes are boring as hell.
Yeah, the funeral scene and then, like, the weird, like, reception thing after the funeral was very boring. I wasn't sure where shit was going. And then it just, like, that was, like, the slow creep up the roller coaster. And then we peaked and then just, like, shot down.
As soon as Aemon got on the dragon, shit hit the fan at that point.
Well, like, I would argue that this, like, shit really hit the fan when Rhaenyra, is that her fucking name?
Yeah.
Rhaenyra and Daemon bang on the beach, okay?
That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did not see that shit coming. I did not see them getting together because I was like, you know, how, like, is she just going to have two husbands or, like, what's going to happen to Laenor? I did not see that coming at all. So that was legit. And then, like, what's the little shit's name?
Aemon.
Yeah, Prince Aemon.
Who, okay, I'm not trying to be like he's worse than Joffrey, but like, okay, I'm gonna do a Harry Potter comparison.
Okay.
Draco Malfoy vibes.
Major. Is he worse than Joffrey though? That's a good like. That's a
is
good.
It's close.
University level case study someone needs to do after the season is done, but it's
closer than it normally would be for a character. If you can say that a character is close enough to Joffrey, he's pretty bad.
Yeah, I think by the end of the season we'll probably be able to say like, yeah, he's worse than Joffrey, especially if he's alive after the end of the season. Yeah,
fucking guarantee.
Because I definitely think we're varying that way. Which,
how will you feel with your boy from The Last Kingdom being Aemon getting murked?
Oh, well, it would be great. He's a great actor, so I think, yeah, it'd be actually, it's really cool to see him in Game of Thrones. And this is gonna be really interesting to see like what happens with the older prince, the one who's like in line, well, not in line, he's, you know. If Allison had her way, her oldest son would be in line for the throne. It's going to be really interesting to see how he develops. If
Which
he
is Aemon.
No. Prince Aemon is a little brother.
Who's the one that his eye got fucking cut out?
The younger one. The older brother is the one that got drunk. And like Aemon was like, he fucking told me that they were bastards.
Aemon might get killed then.
What do you mean?
Because he's not there. It's the oldest one that they show is the one with the eye patch in that preview.
Yeah, so but so the older one,
yeah,
didn't get his eye gouged out. It was his younger brother who got his eye sliced off.
But that's what I'm saying, is they don't show a older one next to the one with the eye patch in the
You think the older brother somehow got knocked off?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe he's just not. Maybe like
maybe he's off screen somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird possible. Though.
It's gonna be interesting to see like how he develops, because so far in like these two episodes, it just seems like he's kind of a aloof fucking idiot, right? He's not he's not intense and like power hungry like Aemon is. He's just kind of like. They're jacking off in the window of the Red Keep, right? Like, you know, doing his thing. and to be fair, again, if you're in line to be king and you want to jack off in the window of your bedroom, like,
why not?
Why the fuck not?
Jack off wherever you want to be.
I would 100% pull that off. so it's gonna be interesting where he goes. It got insane. When Aemon like just claimed, I guess his fucking aunt's
dragon,
dead aunt's dragon.
Yeah,
which I love how like out of everything in this entire episode, no one was like, "No, you can't have the fucking dragon." Like he just claimed the dragon, and everyone was like, "I guess it's his dragon."
Yeah, now. I guess he gets to keep it now. He doesn't have an eye; he gets a dragon, I guess.
And like you were talking about the last scene where. The two like combative parties were split, and they very much like physically drew the lines between each side in the Targaryen Civil War. I think that actually might have been the second best shot in the fucking episode. Okay. The best shot might have been Aemon standing in front of the dragon, they had a shot from behind Aemon, and like the dragon staring him head on.
That's a pretty good shot. And for me, it was. When they showed him like riding it, for some reason it reminded me of like Harry riding Buckbeak. And I was just kind of like, can we not have better CG? But then I went in like
much less innocent than
Harry
riding Buckbeak.
Then I went and watched like Harry riding Buckbeak, and they don't really show Buckbeak too much. And with this, they like show the fucking dragon. They show the kid on him. So like, I get it. But also like the interesting thing is, and it's been a problem that people have had for the last like 3-4 years, these CG heavy scenes have all been at night. This is at night. And the Buckbeak scene that they did with Harry was very much in the day. So like, it's just a very different style and of filmmaking nowadays, I guess. Like, I don't know. I felt like that was what me personally like thought of. And so I was like, huh, like I need to go rewatch that real fast.
I think for an episode that costs $20 million, like that was that.
Yeah.
That's completely like realistic. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're doing a pretty good job. You really harp on the CGI. So
I do, like, because when you're going to spend $20 million and it's very clearly like the outline on like a character.
But you could spend $20 million on that shot alone, right? Like
100%, yeah.
So
but then like it's bullshit, cuz like I watched like Arrow and The Flash, and their CG compared to like movies was dog shit. And then you had to think about like what their budget was and be like, they blew most of their budget on like this 30-second shot. Comparatively speaking, this is good. So it's like you do have to kind of raise and lower your expectations of where like the CG is going to be.
Right.
Dependent upon how much money you're spending.
But did it actually detract from
the overall? Oh, hell no. Hell no.
Yeah.
I just, 100% was, I watched it, thought about the Harry Potter scene, went and watched the Harry Potter scene, and was just doing comparisons in my head and was like, all right, now that I've compared it, not as bad as
it. Yeah, you're just like drawing parallels between.
100%. And so when I did that, I was like, and even in the moment, I was like, this is fucking sick. It's a giant ass dragon that he's riding. And it's one of the biggest dragons.
I was really hoping he was going to die. I thought like maybe, I thought maybe the dragon was
going to cause
himself, like after, you know, killing his owner.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been kind of sick actually. All right. I want to get into this real fast. The moment where they had the fight between the kids, kid fight, sick.
Then with weapons.
Yeah. Then they get into the really political part of it. That to me is probably top 5, maybe to top 10 scenes or sequences of like Game of Thrones. What'd you think when that started and ended? Like, what was your overall feel of that? Like, I'm not going to call it banquet hall, but like, what would you describe it as?
Which part are you talking about where they get political?
So they like, they have the fight scene between the kids.
Okay.
All the families like converge, and basically they're like, what's going to happen? Like, what's the punishment going to be? And Viserys is like figuring it out.
I thought that was pretty interesting actually, because it was like, they're all pleading their case to Viserys. Right. And it's like, it was kind of like a pseudo court case where
100%,
you know, it's they're bringing, their arguments to essentially the judge and jury and executioner. Yeah. Right. So, you know, I didn't like, I found it interesting, but at the end of the day, like you kind of knew it was going to happen. Right. Like there was in no fucking world where, either Viserys was going to allow these rumors to persist or to like, to kind of affirm them or take action that would be perceived as affirming the rumors, which, you know, if he had not like if he had done any action against Rhaenyra's children, like that could have been construed as like, okay, well, you know, Aemon called them bastards, but look, they really are bastards, so like we can't allow them to react like this whenever they're called bastards. And you knew like he wasn't going to do that again because like there was in no fucking world where he was going to do something like that scorned his successor and his grandchildren. I really like the line where he's like, I fucking love this line where he goes, I'm the king, I'm the head of this family, and I'm like your grandsire or your grandfather, right? Like, of all three, you know, I'm your fucking king, I'm the head of the family, and at the end of the day, I'm your grandfather. Like, out of all these three, like, get your fucking shit together.
Yeah.
You know.
But here's the thing that I loved was that moment where it was like, where did you hear this fucking lie, basically? And you see his like eyes kind of look to the left at Allison, and there's that dawning fucking like thought on Viserys of, oh shit, she's the one that has been like spreading this lie. I thought that was a powerful moment.
And I can remember, was there any part in either episode where Allison like tells her children that they're bastards, like just straight up? I didn't think
I don't remember, right? But there had to have been something that like kind of plays off that. But that moment where he like looks at his mom is enough for Viserys to know that like she's talking shit out there.
About. Which he already knew because like she's brought it up with him like so many times.
But I also have him know she's talking about it in public is way different.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I also love the classic maneuver of blaming it on your brother. Like when in doubt, just blame your older brother.
Yeah, that's throwing you under the bus like a motherfucker.
Scapegoat because like what's the fuck you gonna do to like his oldest son, right? Like,
yeah. No. I love this episode. Like I thought it was there were multiple moments where I like gasped and like just yelled out loud, and I thought it was one of the best things I've seen in a while. And it just really kind of encaptured me throughout the episode.
Yeah, there were many twists and turns. And we haven't even talked about like the whole Laenor situation and the marriage between Daemon and Rhaenyra. Like, so I guess like spoilers, Laenor, you know, fakes his own death, rides off with his gay lover into across the narrow sea into the lands of wherever, allowing Daemon and Rhaenyra to get married, which is like, this is like my favorite fucking thing because this like solidly brings Daemon is straight up going to be king. Like if you know, and then Daemon is going to be leading like the Targaryen side of the civil war. So, or like, I guess the Rhaenyra, why are they calling it the black side? Like it's a green versus black. Why is Rhaenyra's side black? Oh, it's because of the kid's hair?
No, because of like the black and red flag.
Oh, I see. Okay. But the green side because Allison Hightower, right?
Yeah, green flag.
Okay. That's fantastic. I cannot wait to see the rest of the season.
That's all I was going to say, man. It's like this episode has just got me so freaking excited for the last like three episodes. Like
okay, so which side of the whole Targaryen Civil War are you on, sir?
Fucking Team Black.
Okay.
Allison Hightower can go fuck herself. Like
who's on her side? Like
I have no idea. Just dumbass people on fucking social media. Like if you are gonna like side with your dipshit kid and like be like, I want another kid's fucking eye, Team Black all day. Like
Yeah. She's crazy, bro. And I do not understand Otto Hightower's like insinuation that he's like, don't worry, we've got this in the bag, we're gonna win soon. Like what fucking universe
are you in?
Yeah, okay, let's count out the dragons. Like who all has dragons at this point, right? So
I have no idea.
Okay, Laenor had a dragon, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Daemon definitely has a dragon. Rhaenyra definitely has a dragon.
Yeah.
Okay, two versus...
That's three.
That's three versus zero. And I'm pretty sure there's only four dragons, right? So...
Well, technically, I guess Aemon has a dragon now.
Exactly, yeah. So there's... It's 3v1 on the dragon front.
But Aemon has, like, the biggest dragon at this point.
He does have the biggest dragon, but also the oldest dragon.
True.
Which, who fucking... I'm not a dragonologist here. I don't know how long dragons live. you know, he could be, like, in his teens for all I fucking know. So, yeah. Like, I think Daemon probably has, like, the smaller dragon. Rhaenyra's dragon is nothing to scoff at, and who knows who's going to get Laenor's dragon after this whole
shit show goes down.
Bros escapade. I was trying to make a play on the movie. Arkansas? Yeah.
Yeah. When are you going to go see that, Rye?
You give me a theater, I'll go.
I told you, Flicks Brewhouse in Little Elm.
Why? Hold on. Okay. We did say 15 miles though, right?
Yeah.
That might legitimately be 15 miles, more than 15 miles from my home.
100%.
What's your backup theater?
God, I wish Value View was still a thing.
That would be... Wait, Value View, that AMC's not open anymore?
It closed.
During the pandemic?
Yeah, rest in peace, Value View.
Oh, no.
Oh no.
Okay, so yeah, that theater is 34 miles from my home, so
yeah, permanently closed.
Which should be the status for Flicks Brewhouse.
Yeah. No, fuck you. I wish there was like a fuck. That's not 15 miles. I'll find one.
Okay.
I should send you to the fucking Studio Movie Grill. That's not the one that we go to. It's also on 75.
The one on Royal?
Yeah.
All right. That one's a fucking hellhole. That one's
S&D Royal Lane Rose.
Okay. Yeah.
Ryan, what would you give Driftmark on the Max Jindo head rating?
I would give this one a 4.25 out of 5.
Oh, my God. I was going to give it a 4.75.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, I was high as a kite on this one. I love this episode.
Cool.
Do we want to do Don't Worry, Darling, or are we just tired?
We're a bit tired, but let's do like a 5-minute, like just okay. Like real high-level review.
Jordan Peterson.
Oh, I literally just heard about that today. Like, straight up.
What the fuck, dude?
I don't know. Okay, so I had seen Jordan Peterson on Piers Morgan. Like, I guess that happened sometime last week, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him, like, crying. And I was like, I don't want to see this shit. Like, this guy's been through some stuff. But then I... Dude, he was like straight up like in a mental fucking institute for like a long time. That's what I mean. Like,
all right. Explain why we brought up Jordan Peterson.
Anyways, okay, so apparently Olivia Wilde,
as in Don't Worry, Darling.
Yeah, in relation to Don't Worry, Darling. Apparently Olivia Wilde came out and said that Chris Pine's character was based on Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
Which is fucking stupid. I'm sorry, but like...
Well, okay. In the context of the movie, it makes sense. It would have made more sense, and I'm going to say this name, and you're probably going to freak out.
Okay. It
made more sense to say somebody like Joe Rogan, but...
Okay. How does like...
Wait,
either
wait,
of those...
Just wait. In the context of the movie and what they were going for, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, what she was trying to portray, which is this like incel like YouTube thing where this guy basically brings all these people in and convinces them to do something like this.
Okay, so
that's where it comes from.
Major spoilers from here on out.
Yes.
Major spoilers.
3, 2, 1.
Go. Okay. If you remove the last 10 minutes of the movie, right, and you completely remove the fact that, like, this guy was bringing in men into this virtual world.
Yeah.
Let's not get into, like, trying to figure out what the fuck it was, but, like,
not even just men, but, like, convincing them.
I'll get there. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Like, he's convincing the men to come into this virtual world, and he, like, a part of it is he's like, you choose a mate, and your mate comes with you willingly or unwillingly. Now,
seemed like unwillingly, but.
Well, no, because it'll be wild when willingly, right? So.
Well, but I think that was her choice. It wasn't. She was a part with
somebody. Okay, then that blows apart your fucking theory, like, altogether. But if you remove that part and you just say that Chris Pine's character, like, just in the context of, like, the virtual world that they had built, like, really his message was, like, universal. Like, we're building as a community this brand new community and this brand new, like, technology for all mankind to make all mankind better. So, okay, A, I don't understand how that, like, relates at all to incels or to, like, the audience that Joe Rogan or Jordan Peterson relates to, right? And then, like, if you take it a step further and you do bring in the portion of where, like, this is all a contrived, like, virtual world that they built, and, like, they're very much like, forcing, you know, people into this world against their will, like a very kind of, like, I don't know, very, like, it's almost like a greatly exaggerated version of, like, the conservative, like, some people would view as, like, a conservative lifestyle where, like, it's a patriarchy, the what the man says goes, blah blah blah, all that bullshit, right?
Because, like, what was the timeline? It was supposed to be the 50s or the 60s.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. But this is, like, way more exaggerated than, like, even what was in the 50s or 60s, because, like, we're saying that Harry Styles, like, kidnapped his fucking wife, and
it's like the idyllic version of the 50s or 60s. Like, that wasn't what the
50s. Well, I'm going beyond that. I'm going, like, beyond, yeah, like, how they even got to the 50s or 60s. Like,
okay,
they're forcing their you know, significant others or whatever to, like, go to this world against their will. Like, how that relates at all to Jordan Peterson or, like, Joe Rogan, like, if you can explain it to me, go ahead. Like, if at the very least, what you have to say is you're taking some, like, core tenets and some core themes from Joe Rogan or from Jordan Peterson, and then you're blowing them, like, completely out of proportion. So, like, say that what the character in Don't Worry Darling, to say that that character was, like, somehow it all based in reality was, like, based on a real person, like, that's batshit crazy. Like, if you can explain it better, like, go ahead. But I think it's a complete hyperbole, and it's a bit unfair to, like, those people to try and, like, relate to what happened in that movie to, like, what those people are actually trying to do in real life.
Well, I think what they were meaning is that person or those people have, for not all the followers that they have, but for a select few, convince them that the older ways of doing things are idealized. And they said, like, hey, if you're down here, it's because of this over here, and this is how things should be. And if you could do things, this is how it would be. Mm-hmm. And convince them that, like, the older ways are the better ways. And really, it's not one-to-one, because really, and this is why I think the comparison is not right or good, because Jordan Peterson and Chris Rogan have not Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan have not given or have never been like, hey, like, let's go over here and create this utopia type of bullshit. But,
yeah,
like,
and they don't even really say, like, the old ways are better. Like, Joe Rogan definitely never says that. Like, Jordan Peterson does say, like, maybe some traditional, like, roles, and he doesn't even say, like, it should be this way. He's actually just questioning, like, would the satisfaction level or happiness level of modern society be different if we didn't have like two parents working multiple jobs overtime, like, you know, I don't think he's ever said like it would be and we should go to that point. He's just questioning the fact that like this is where our modern society has gone and like these are the consequences.
I was gonna say that's a false dichotomy, but that becomes a thing where it's like to say like, oh, I'm only questioning it, it's like, well, you're throwing that idea out there for a very specific reason to like bring up this thought process.
Well, he's an academic researcher, like that's academic,
but an academic knows that that's where that thought process is going to go. So like it's very purpose to throw that question out there. So I would
say, but I mean, he's a clinical psychologist who like tracks these metrics of is a society, you know, emotionally, physically, mentally, XYZ, in a better place than it was, you know, in different generations at different points of time. And like, you know, to be an academic or to be a researcher, you have to come up with
to that questions. Point, though, to that point, are the people who were physically, and this is getting back into Don't Worry, Darling, physically like taken against their will and put into the simulation.
But that's not the question. Like, that's not what we should really be asking.
No, it is because you have to think, are they going off of the data points that were the people from the 50s or 60s who were in power, which were like the males of that time who were ostensibly in power and giving those data points versus now the people who all have power? Is that really what was happening? And in this movie, and this is where I think it's very interesting. These women were quite literally taken against their will. And the only one, and this is my biggest problem with this movie, we are not given enough information about Olivia Wilde to really know about what the fuck her like thought process was or like how she got in there. But,
or like even how many of like of those type of women are in the community, because like
we only
see like four or five women. Well, we only get to focus on a handful of women out of like an entire community. Like, how many really were taken there against their will? Yeah. But to back up a step, like you can agree that like Joe Rogan or Jordan Peterson have never and would never argue
I would say Rogan would for sure. And I just threw out his name because like very, very close. Peterson, I'm not familiar enough to know. I don't know. And that is who Olivia Wilde threw out for that fucking interview that she did, which is now like causing a furor. But like, dude, I didn't like the ending. Like her really trying to throw that shit in there was just like, okay, you had a cool concept, you had something original, and you try to throw some shit in there in the middle of it just to kind of be like, oh, we're being controversial. Go fuck yourself. Like, I don't agree with Jordan Peterson at all, but to throw that in there in the middle of it just felt contrived and forced and just weird. Like, I didn't like that at all.
Okay.
What?
No, I just want to say, like, you literally just said, I don't know almost anything about Jordan Peterson. And then on the other hand, you said, like, I don't agree with him at all. That's kind of a...
Okay. Let me rephrase then. I know a little bit about him, but I don't know enough to speak intelligently upon what he has said. I know this much. I don't agree with what I have heard from him. I've agreed with one or two things before he started getting really controversial. And the fact that somebody like Olivia Wilde took it upon herself to like really kind of harp on that is stupid to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just make an original movie that I thought you were doing at the very beginning of it. And I thought that was really dumb to like curtail it halfway through.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I also, though, disagree strongly that the ending was, like, poorly constructed. I very, very much liked the ending in this movie. You know, I would, like, I was really excited to go back and watch the movie again, you know, independent of all this whole, like, Jordan Peterson mess. But, like, I was excited to go back and watch, like, okay, I know the entire story now. Now I want to see all the clues that are strewn across the movie. But now I'm even more excited to rewatch it with the, you know, if this is even true, like if she like sat down and wrote this script with like Jordan Peterson in mind, who knows? Or if she like just did this for,
oh, I think she 100%.
Or she did for publicity because she knows Jordan Peterson's a big name. She knew it would do a cause a furor. Either way, I thought it was a fantastic movie. Fantastic, like all the way through. Great acting, everything. And you know,
I just thought it. I thought it left too many questions unanswered, and like too many things where you like just spend 30 to a seconds to a minute, and you're just like fucking unraveling everything. And I was just like, I didn't enjoy that part of it. But
yeah, that's complete.
I would go see it again just to be like, I want to see if I missed something.
100%. Yeah, yeah. Like, and that's a completely fair argument as well. Like, I would 100% admit that there's several points I wish they had elaborated more on. I mean, for me, I didn't think that it was completely crucial to the overall quality of the movie. But I could definitely see where, you know, you do think that it was at least somewhat detrimental to your enjoyment of the film.
So what would you give it on a max Jindo head rating there, Rye?
So on a max Jindo head rating out of 5 Jindo max heads, I'd give it a 4.5.
Holy God. I give it a 2.75.
That's ridiculous.
So
we
strongly disagree about this movie.
Yeah.
But all that to say, they go off a box office. I will probably see it again, or I will rent it or buy it or something. So like they have won me over on that end, but who knows?
Mm-hmm. I will say, like, if you are thinking about seeing it and you're on the edge of like, oh, I might wait till it's on digital or DVD or whatever, go fucking see it in theaters. Cause it's
see it in theaters. Cause it's visually amazing.
It is incredibly well done.
I'll bump that up to a 3 just for the visuals.
Oh, good, good. I'm sure if we had like 20 more minutes, I could get you to a 4 or 5, but
fuck you. But Ryan, right. This has been a fun episode of shitting and talking.
Yeah. Sorry for the delays and the breaks and everything, but
I was there with you as well, but this has been another fun episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast. As always, we're on YouTube, Furloughed Film Talks. Subscribe to the channel. We'll be posting these when we can.
And our numbers have been doing well with our downloads. Our current video or last episode has a whopping 3 views on YouTube. So let's bump those numbers up. No, I'm trying to encourage our listeners. Like, go see.
Figure it out.
Yeah. We should probably, we'll reiterate at the beginning of every episode, like, hey, if you want to go watch the video, because we could get some ad revenue from YouTube rather than just nothing from the podcast version. So, you know.
But everybody, thank you for checking out this episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast. We'll be back next week with another episode about House of Dragon and some other stuff.
Maybe we're going to catch up to Lord of the Rings. God damn it.
Dude, I'm so behind. Which episode are you on?
I'm all caught up.
Oh my God, I'm so behind.
So I think there's only one more episode, maybe. One or two.
I'll have to check that out then. But
fucking love Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
They just announced that season 2 started filming today or yesterday. So
we're already filming it? Bro. All right. Everybody, thank you for checking out this episode. We'll be back next week. Have a great rest of your week.
Adios, amigos.